Amen. It's good singing this morning.
Amen.
Appreciate that singing, Brother Jeff. Appreciate that singing, Sister Lou Knowles. Choir, it was good. I appreciate it. I enjoy being in the house of the Lord. And I want to tell you, if you're here this morning, we're glad you're here. And we're thankful you're here with us in the house of the Lord. I enjoy going to church. I like being around God's people. I like being around the Spirit of God. I want to feel the presence of God. And I want to be where the Lord is. That's why I like coming to church. You got your Bible, we're going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'm going to read about four verses. I'll give you the title this morning, what we're going to be preaching on. Just trying to bring to you the thing that God has laid on our heart. You know, I've heard recent talk about Christianity and what is Christianity and what separates it from all the other religions of the world. And I think one thing that definitely stands out is how Christians handle adversity. If you study the history of the church, you find that it's when the church is pushed or pressured the most that it actually seemed to flourish and grow the most. And that's not something that we want to hear. And the message this morning that I have on my heart is really not a message that I think people want to receive, because I'll tell you, it's not necessarily a message that I would want to preach. But it's something that I think we need to realize. You know, I believe there is saving grace. I believe there is grace to live by, and I believe there's dying grace. But I also think as Christians, we need to learn how to walk the right way in the midst of our circumstances. One time I preached a message here on suffering the right way. You say, well, what do you mean? You know, as Christians, sometimes it is unfortunate, but we do suffer. Sometimes we hurt. Sometimes I've even heard it said, I don't understand why Christians have to go through the things that they go through sometimes. I want to read this scripture to you, and I'll tell you the things that God's laid on my heart this morning. And I just want to be obedient and follow God. I want to be where God wants me to be. There's really no other place to be. If you could understand fully the will of God and what it means to stand in the will of God, there's really no other place that you'd want to be. And you say, well, I want to be in God's will. Well, what if God asks you to do something that you don't want to do? If you understood God's will well enough, you'd still want to do it. You know, I used to be afraid when I was a young preacher that God would ask me to do something. Well, what do you mean? I was afraid that God would send me to the mission field. I was afraid. Then I was afraid that God would call me to be a pastor of a church. I was afraid. I was afraid that God would do anything in my life according to His will and His direction to take me out of my comfort zone. But until you get out of yourself and into following Him fully, you're never going to learn and understand the intimacy of what it means to walk closely to God. If you got your Bible, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 15 through verse number 18. It says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, I know that last verse is difficult for us because we can't see it all. The Bible says in one place that now we see through a glass darkly and we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what the Bible teaches us. But these things we know are temporary. You know, it would be very difficult to take and go and preach the message that I have this morning to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at a high school and get them to fully comprehend it. To get them to understand that this life is temporal, that the things that we have, they're going to pass. that our lives are going to change, that we're going to be faced with adversity as we walk through life. But as we get older, the older we get, we look not only at what's in front of us, but we look back and we see where we have walked with God, and we fully understand what it means to walk with Him and not just look at God as someone who gives me all the things that I want, who answers all my prayers and does everything that I ask Him to do, but He's someone that I've learned how to walk with in my life throughout every day, in the good times and in the bad times. It's kind of like the wedding vows that we take. It's kind of like the song that they sing, the God on the mountain, He's also God in the valley. Now, I want to go back and read this 15th verse again and try to grasp a hold of what's saying here. It says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or contribute to the glory of God. You see, I believe that everything that we go through in our life, we need to understand how that we might be able to glorify God in it. Sometimes that's in the good times. Sometimes it's in the bad times. What God has laid on my heart this morning that I want to share with you is understanding the ministry of pain. You think pain is a ministry? I want you to think about it for just a minute. I want us to just ponder a few things about pain. You know, why, have you ever thought about why do we have pain? Why do we hurt? Why do we suffer? We suffer in different ways, and I want to talk about that, but I want us to understand that pain is real. The reality is some people in this building are in pain right now. You could be in physical pain. You could be in emotional pain. You could be in spiritual pain. I mentioned to them when I came in the church a while ago, I drove about an hour or so to get here. I got out of my truck. And I'm kind of in a place in my life that if I work all day and sit down, about 15 minutes later, if I try to stand up, the balls of my heels feel like you're driving a spike right through the bottom of them. Now, you know, that's pain, okay? Some people have worse. I had a member of the church tell me recently, they said, you know, I'm in constant pain, but I can live with that. I've learned how to live with it, but it's a constant reminder that things are not right, okay? You ever thought about it and you say, well, you know, why pain? And then you say this right here, it's like the song. Well, you know, we say, why me, Lord? Why did God choose me? But sometimes what we do is we say, why me, Lord? Why am I going through this pain? And I want to share some thoughts with you that God has given me. Number one, pain is an indicator. Pain is an indicator that tells us that something is going on. Something is going on. It could be in our body. It could be in our life. It could be in our spirit. And in order to appreciate, and you say, really, you want me to appreciate pain? I want you to think about this for just a minute. If pain tells you that something is going on, what happens in the absence of pain? There may be things going on that you don't understand. Well, what about back pain? You know, back pain could be an indicator that you have some nerve damage. That's usually what it is. It's damage with the nerves or it's damage with the discs. And, you know, you go to the doctor and you say, I've got back pain. And he looks at you and he says, well, it's no wonder you got back pain. You've got a pinched nerve or you've got a deteriorated disc. What about hip pain? You could have hip pain and you can go to the doctor and they could say, well, you need a hip replacement. A friend of mine recently went to the doctor about 6 weeks ago and he said, I've got some hip pain. I don't understand why I'm hurting around in my back and down in my leg. And they checked him out and they found out that he was severely eat up with cancer in his hip, in his pelvic area. And I attended this guy's funeral last week. You know, sometimes, and this is just the way I am, I know that I'm this way. My wife can holler amen over here. You know, I'll say, if so-and-so's hurting, she said, you going to the doctor or not? You know what I usually say? Not. But that hip pain could be that there's something going on. What about a headache? You know, headache could tell you that you possibly have something going on. You know, sometimes you can ignore a headache and you finally go to the doctor and they say, well, you've got a tumor. That's why you've got a headache. You know, what about chest pain? You go to the doctor and you say, well, I've been having some discomfort. I've got some chest pain. He said, you sure do. You're not going home. We're going to work on you. You get a stent. You get bypass surgery. You know, pain is an indicator, and that's what I'm trying to get us to understand. that every pain in our life is really simply pointing to some cause or other factor. That's why I want you to understand that every pain is not to be despised. You say, well, I don't want pain. Well, let me give you something about the danger of no pain. Where there is no pain, there is the danger of delusion. You see, you could be deceived about your actual condition. Sometimes you've heard people talk about, you know, being asymptomatic, and they could have something going on and they wouldn't even know that it's going on. I want to know if something's going on, right? Now, I don't want to be a hypochondriac, but I want to be able to understand and make good decisions and do the right things. Now, we're talking about the natural. What about the spiritual? Do you think I want to be in a position that I could possibly be walking in darkness and God not speak to me and let me know that? I want God to speak to me. You see, where there is no pain, there is no warning. You could have a problem and not know about it. You know, how many of you, I don't know if you're familiar with leprosy or what's called Hansen's disease. It is a disease that destroys the nerves and removes the feelings from the affected area. You know, you could start out with a hand like this, and people sometimes who have leprosy, they end up with just nubs. You know, they can lose an ear, they can lose a nose where you're looking right straight into their head. The problem with a person who has leprosy is they have no feeling in that area. So they can't tell you that they hurt or that they have pain. Now, here's the issue with that. It even goes to the extent that those people in this, the very worst state is a person could lose their eyesight, they could lose their hearing, and then they could lose their touch of feeling, and they can be in darkness and no one be able to touch them and let them know that they're even there. I don't want to be in a place that I have no feeling. What about neuropathy? Neuropathy is a disease or type of sickness that eliminates the feeling in a person's feet. You know, I told you a minute ago, I got out of the truck and I kind of walked. This is I walked pretty much all day yesterday, and I come in last night and I got in a recliner and I sat there about 15 or 20 minutes with my feet up. And I got up, and when my feet hit the floor, I was trying to walk on my toes, and it was tightening up my calves, and I started saying, "Don't leave us with the babies." That's about the way it felt. And then I began to think about how my heels hurt. But I want to tell you right now, thank God that I have that feeling. Thank God that I have that pain. Thank God that I've not lost the sensory perception to understand that there's something that I need to be doing to take care of my feet. Because you can have neuropathy, you can step on a rusty nail, and you won't even know it until gangrene has caused your leg to have to be removed. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't want pain. You know what I want? I want God to tell me what I need to hear. You see, where there is no pain, there is no chance of improvement. See, no problems that we have are going to get better. Without pain, the factors or root causes of pain could be our silent killers. Now, I'm talking about things in the body, but we're going to get some spiritual stuff. I got a lot of scripture coming up. But we understand it in the body, but what about in our lives? What about in our relationship with God? What about in our emotions? See, pain is a communicator. And I want you to think about the correlation between pleasure and pain. Understand that we do not have sensory perception of all manners of pleasure. The answer to the question why is because pleasure is often the absence of pain. That's why this lesson would be very difficult to go and preach to the fellowship of Christian athletes when they're in the prime of their life. You remember when you were 18 years old? I could get on top of the house, Brother Billy, jump off, hit the ground, and roll. Oh, I would do things. I would run. I'd play kickball in the parking lot, hit the asphalt, and roll, and stand back up. I can remember trying to do that. We were over at Macklin Baptist Church. It's been a few years ago. I was about 41, 42 years old, and we were playing football, and I was still fast. That was before I broke my ankle. This boy come running around there. He was about 18. I tackled him like Isaiah's size, and I hit the ground and rolled, and he hopped up just like a rabbit. And I looked, and I was pulling myself back up. They don't understand the pleasure is the absence of pain. I remember one time I had an ingrown toenail. That's awful. I'm not going to put a picture of it on Facebook, and you don't do it either. Some people do that. I went to the doctor, and that thing was hurting me. It was bothering me, and he stuck me with a needle, and that needle went deep in my toe, and I said, ah. Because when the pain went away, there was instant pleasure. So we don't always understand the blessings that we have because we don't understand the correlation between pleasure and pain. Now let's take this for just a minute and let's look at our relationship with God. Sometimes pain is God's megaphone. You see, because God whispers to us in our pleasure, but God shouts to us in our pain. A write-it-down statement that I've said many times, but it's something that really stuck out in my life when I heard Charles Stanley say this many years ago. He said, adversity makes men, but prosperity makes monsters. And it is sad but true as we listen to this, and I stand here before you today as a pastor, that I have seen people in this altar on both sides in the time that I've been here. They're crying their eyes out. They're praying about a job. They're crying their eyes out praying about a relationship or somebody. They're crying their eyes out praying about a house or a car or a thing or a physical ailment that they have. It could be natural pain. Crying their eyes out before God as God begins to speak to them and God is trying to get their attention. And as soon as that pain is gone and that pleasure returns, their relationship with God is not to be found. If God is speaking to me and God is trying to get my attention, here's the unfortunate part. It may be the only time that I walk with God, the place that I'm supposed to be, is when I am in the most pain. God forbid that you can't enjoy the pleasure of God and the goodness of God and stay close to Him like you're supposed to. You see, there are three types of pain. One is the physical pain. That's where the body hurts. I think everybody in here at some point can relate to that. You young people that are made out of steel, it'll change. It'll change. It's going to change. I have a guy that I work with. He's about my size, but he's about 40 pounds lighter. Real wiry like I used to be. And he turned 40, and I said, it's going to change. He said, not me. He kind of flexed a little bit, not me. I'm not going to let that happen to me. He came in my office a couple of weeks ago. He's about 10 years older. He said, you know, it's starting to happen. I just kind of smiled. I said, you can't keep it from happening. Because our bodies change and we change. Physical change comes and physical pain comes. What about emotional pain? It is unfortunate but true. Some of that's going to come. We're going to hurt. We're going to have things in life that break our hearts. We're going to have things in life that we have to face that we don't want to face. I remember one time I met a man at the emergency room because he had gotten a call that his son had been into a fight. His son didn't want to be in a fight, but I want to tell you something. There are people out there right now that want to hurt you. They don't care about you. They don't have any respect for you. They don't care that they pull out in front of you. They don't care that you have value. They don't value your life. This man hurt his son over nothing, and I met him at the emergency room. He had to have an emergency operation, and I remember standing there as we stood outside the door just waiting to see what the doctors are going to say. And he said, you know, we don't know what we're going to face, but one thing I've learned is we just have to walk through it with them as it comes. Don't we understand that by now in our lives? We don't know what the next phone call is going to be. We don't know what the next decision is going to be because it's not just your decisions. It's the decision of every person that you love. here's what I want you to understand this morning. The things you do affect somebody else. Young people, what you do affects your parents. They love you more than you can comprehend. Amen. Mamas and daddies, the things you do affect your children. Because they love you more than you can comprehend. And they're looking for guidance. Proverbs 27:6 says this, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Think about the greatest hurt that a man can have. The greatest hurt that a woman can have, or the greatest hurt that a mother or a parent can have. My mother told me one time, and this is where I get this statement, she said, a parent is never happier than her least happy child. I remember one time I was on a job site and I was working with this guy. And he was rough. It was construction work. Not everybody's rough in construction. I know we got some construction men in here. They're the good kind. But I was working with this guy. He was rough. I didn't realize how rough he was. We were working on a job one day, and he was holding on the side of the truck, and he's about a foot taller than me. And I looked back there, and I popped the clutch and slung him on the ground. He jumped up and he said, if you just knew who I was, if you just knew what I was capable of doing. And I listened to him for just a minute. I just smiled and laughed and went on with it. A few weeks later, I realized who he was. He come to work and he had emotions. You could see it on his face. He was hurting and his face was pulled down. And you could tell that there was something going on in his life that was tearing him apart from the inside out. And some of the guys that we worked with, they didn't know what was going on with him. One of them said this. They said, it's got to be a woman. Now we laugh, but some of us know what that feels like. Okay? Our hearts get broke. And young people, don't tell y'all, it's real. Y'all ever heard the saying, it's just puppy love? Let me tell you something. Puppy love's real when you're a puppy. I looked at this man and they said, it's got to be a woman. And I worked with him and I carried out. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a Christian. I was saved at 12. I was about 18 then. And I wasn't really any different then other than a little bit of rough popping the clutch and throwing somebody down than I am now. And I was trying to talk to him, trying to help him, and he wouldn't share. And a couple of weeks later, we found out this guy had robbed a bank 5 years earlier. And he had been running from the law. And in the process of running from the law, he met a woman. He had a child that was 3 years old. He was working every day. He was living his life. And he had straightened himself out without having to go to prison. And they found him. And he was going to have to go to jail. And yes, it was about a woman. And yes, it was about a little girl. And yes, it was about a life. And it was about a change that he was going to be faced with that hurt so deeply. And I felt the pain. Do you feel the pain when the people around you hurt? It was emotional pain. We go through those things. What about spiritual pain? I want to tell you something as a Christian. When you walk with God, sometimes you have spiritual pain. The Bible tells us, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 and 32, it says, if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. We can go to Proverbs, and I can give you more scripture in Hebrews chapter number 12, but it tells us this. It says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even a father and the son in whom he delighteth. What's that say? The Bible teaches us that if you love your children, you're going to correct them. That's pretty much what it says. And because God loves us, he's going to correct us. And sometimes the correction of the Lord, it causes us pain. I remember one time a story that my dad shared with me about the chastening of the Lord. Some people, I believe, will be able to communicate and understand this. If you can't, you need to be able to understand it, because your fellowship with God and your closeness with God has to do with how you follow Him when He leads you by His Spirit. You see, I grew up going to revivals and being in church services my whole life, and we would go sometimes to revival one week and another revival the next week and the next week, and I grew up that way. And I remember my dad, when you would go, a lot of times you'd have a preacher, but I've seen them get up and go to testify, you know, like I do sometimes, and in just a minute they'd be preaching. And folks, there was more preachers back then than there are now. There's a church up on the other side of Dallas that I remember visiting one time. It's probably about this size. They had 28 preachers in the church. And you say, well, that's too many. They ought to be serving. There ain't none now. But I remember my dad told me the story. He said, I was in a church, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and told me I need to stand up and testify. He said, I didn't want to do it. He said, the Spirit of God spoke to me again and said, I want you to stand up and testify. I want you to say this. I want you to speak to these people. And he said, I wouldn't do it. And he said, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God left me. He said, it was like a wind going out of the room, or it was like the heat going out of the room, the way that I felt the coldness in my heart when God's comfort in God's presence went away from me because I wouldn't be obedient. He said, I tried to get that back. He said, I went back. He said, I didn't quit going to church. He said, I didn't quit going to revivals. He said, but when I went, I didn't feel the way that I felt before. I didn't feel that closeness to God. And he said, I didn't feel that Spirit. And he said, worse, God didn't speak to me again and say, I want you to testify. God didn't say, I want you to do something. He said, in fact, it seemed like God was so distant. I would pray to Him and seek Him, but I didn't feel Him speak to me. He said, 1 year later, at the very same church, I was there at a revival. And he said, God spoke to me. And he said, I want you to testify. He said, when he did, I leaped to my feet. And I was glad to tell people about the goodness of the Lord, because I had come to a place that I could not feel what I felt. You know, if we have a relationship with God, that's the relationship it ought to be. We speak to Him and He speaks to us. And when we get contrary to Him, this is evidence that you are saved by the grace of God. It is when God corrects you for the things that you're not doing right. That's spiritual pain. That's where the soul hurts. Now, how can I get relief of my pain? You know, sometimes when we're hurting, all we think about is how I'm going to get relief. Sometimes the relief is not the removal of pain, but it's finding the ability sometimes to endure. Finding endurance, finding grace, finding relief. Sometimes I've heard people say, you know, I'd be willing to endure the pain if I could just be able to do some of the things that I used to do. I remember one time working with someone in Celebrate Recovery. They said a few words to me, Brother Tom, that burned into my soul. I was trying to counsel with them. I was trying to talk to them. I was trying to find a way to help them. And you think, oh, you know, you got a stereotype about people. Don't have that. I was talking to this man, and as I looked at him, here's what he said. And he said it with emotion in his voice. He said, I just wish that I could work again. And when he said that, it went right down inside of me, because I can remember what it was like going and visiting with my dad when he was disabled at 49 years old with COPD. And I would sit there, and he would want to work, and he would want to do, and he would want to be involved in the things of the church. He wanted to be in the house of God. It wasn't a chore for him to come. When he had a work day, he wanted to be there, but he couldn't. When this man said, I just wish that I could work, They're willing to accept the pain. They're willing to accept the condition that they're in. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes in our relationship with God, we got to recognize where we're at and be willing to go forward God's way, or we'll never get to the point that we'll be able to endure our pain. Then from there we go to how can I use my pain. I got another lesson that I did one time in Sunday school. It says, don't waste your afflictions. What do you mean by that? You know that every time you hurt, you learn something and you grow in your relationship with God. And it puts you in a position that what you have been through, God can use. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3 and 4 says this, blessed be God, even the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, sometimes there are times I get calls and I can't comfort those people the way that others can. There have been times because of the things that my wife has gone through, I've seen her be able to minister to people in ways that I never could. I've seen other times that people in this church, you say, well, I am not a preacher. You don't have to be. Here's what you tell people when you're witnessing to them. Tell them what you know. Just tell them what God has done for you. See, the Bible teaches us that He comforts us so that we can comfort others. That's why when you say, what do you mean by don't waste your afflictions? It's so that when you go through something, you're learning and you're growing in your relationship with God. I promise you in your life, you're going to see somebody that you can take what you learned and share it with them. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I deal with the pain of others? And I mentioned it before. Do you ever feel anybody else's pain? Doesn't the Bible says teach us that we should bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of the prophets? The way you do it is you don't have all the answers because you don't. You ever seen anybody hurting and somebody come up to them and they just start trying because they don't know what to do? They just start talking. You start telling them stuff. I've seen it. And I've felt the pain. And I've looked at the courtesy of a person that's even in pain. Sometimes not to tell the person that's trying to tell them all about it, to be quiet. Sometimes what you do is you just go and you listen. Sometimes you touch. Sometimes you put your arm around them. I had somebody share with me recently. They said they were talking about helping someone who was suffering great loss. And it was a great friend. And they said, I got there, I didn't know what to say. And the person was laying in the bed and they were curled up in a ball crying. So I just crawled up there and put my arm around them and cried with them. Sometimes go and listen and touch. And even this, don't be afraid to let your feelings show. Why is pain important? I don't want to get to the point I can't feel pain. I don't want to get to the point I can't feel it in this body and lose all sensory perception. But I don't want to get to the point that I am numb because there's so much going on in this world that I can't feel the pain and the love for my brothers and sisters in Christ. When we endure, when we suffer, when we see things that I cannot be sensitive to the things of God. You know that the Bible talks about in the last days, it says this, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. God forbid. God help us as His people to always be sensitive to that. Isaiah chapter 53, speaking of Jesus Christ, this is a picture of Christ, says, He was wounded for our transgressions and He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, and he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You know, our Lord has given us an example to love those who are suffering, whether it be in sorrow. And sometimes, you ever heard this saying, well, they made their bed, let them lay in it. I'm just so glad that God didn't let me lay in it. I'm so glad that God loved me enough that he said, it don't matter what you've done, I died for you. It don't matter where you've been, the blood is enough to cover. And I can find relief from my pain. See, I want God to speak to me. And I'll say this, and I say it respectfully, Lord. I want God to chasten me when I need it. What's the alternative? That God won't come speak to me anymore. And I don't want that. If you're here this morning, I believe if we go through the room and we were to talk, we'd find every family has got something going on. There are loved ones that are in trouble. There are family members that are in trouble. There are sicknesses. There are prayer requests. There are losses of loved ones. There are situations, there are needs in every life. There are decisions that are trying to be made by people. There are things that people need to do. Every person needs something from God. And sometimes what people experience is they think, well, because of my pain, because of my past, because of my life, am I ever going to be able to get to the point that God wants me to be at in my relationship with Him? Yes, you can. You can, because Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary knowing, educated, knowing everything about you, and he loves you just like you are. I'm going to ask him to play this song, and I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. And if God has spoke to you this morning, I want you to know God cares about you, God loves you, God knows where you're at, God knows what you're going through, and he cares. Sometimes people say, well, does God hear me? Does God care what I'm going through? Yes. Yes. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did God do this to me? Can I tell you, God don't do everything to you? We live in a fallen world. Now, I heard a preacher say it this way one time, and you're going to have to use a little understanding for this. He said, some things happen because Adam liked apple pie. I'm not even going to try to convince you that it was an apple. But there's a curse on this world. Amen. And you're going to have pain here. You're going to suffer heartache here. You're going to suffer loss here. But here's the thing about Christianity, and this is what separates Christianity from every other religion in the world, is how God's people walk through adversity. That's why the first verse we read, it said that it would redound unto the glory of God. Because when you give God glory in the midst of your adversity, there is a world that cannot understand that. If God spoke to your heart as we play this song,